This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
8:35 a.m. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Philip C. and Wong Xiaoning. In half an hour, we have the opening bell where we check out how Bursa Malaysia begins the trading day. But before that, let's put the spotlight on anti-corruption initiatives. This week in Parliament, Prime Minister Datuk Seri Anwar Ibrahim said that the government is willing to relinquish its discretion in appointing the Chief Commissioner of the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission, or the MACC. However, the PM pointed out that under the current laws and regulations, the MACC is already deemed to be an independent body. Hence, this was why he didn't make any changes to the MACC leadership when the new government was formed, so as not to create a perception that every new PM will appoint a new chief.
The current appointment process for the leader of the country's top anti-graft body has long been a topic of concern among civil societies and anti-corruption advocates, who criticise that the MACC is susceptible to being politicised, given that the sitting Prime Minister nominates candidates for the role. So, how does placing the MACC under the Parliament's purview improve its independence? And does the current unity government have the political will to do it?
For some thoughts on this, we speak to Sudhakaran Stanley, Deputy Chief Executive Officer at the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, better known as the C4 Centre. Stanley, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. So before we dive into this proposal for Parliament to decide on the MACC Chief's appointment, talk us through some of the problems with the current system of appointment.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you to BFM for having me on the show this morning. So why is this an issue, right? So when we discuss this, the current practice of where the chief commissioner being appointed by the Yang Dipertuan Agong on the advice of the Prime Minister, in essence, actually means that the commissioner is basically the PM's man. So, and we have seen an example of this problem when during at the height of the 1MDB scandal, where the former Prime Minister had replaced the former Chief MACC Tan Sri Abu Kasim with one of his allies, Tan Sri D. Zulkifli. And then we later found out by an expose done by Latifa Koya that D. Zulkifli was actually updating Najib on his case while he was the public prosecutor. Now, if you remember clearly, Latifa had released a voice recording conversation between Najib and Zul on that matter. And then we came to understand why actually Najib appointed Zul and then Zul clearing Najib of any wrongdoing at that point of time and so on. Now, on the other hand, as for the appointment of Latifa herself, although we have no doubt on her credibility, but it was widely believed at that point of time that Tun Mahathir had chosen Latifa as a means to checkmate Anwar and his camp, because we know relationship between Anwar and Latifa was not good and they were from different camps, although in the same party. So the issue here is that we see that because the PM is the one appointing the commissioner, therefore there exists an issue of impartiality and also loyalty and so on. And let's have a look even at the issue of the current commissioner, where he was appointed when Muhyiddin came into power. And when Muhyiddin came into power, there were so many allegations and happenings where Muhyiddin was actually dishing out GLC positions and ministerial positions to politicians to entice them into shifting alliances. And there was even a leaked audio recording allegedly resembling the voice of Muhyiddin discussing the rewards in Bersatu. But despite all of this, we see that Azam had failed to take action against Muhyiddin on this matter. So we have a major crisis here. It's not only about the appointment process, but also the perception that the commissioner is not independent. So that's the major issue that we're trying to address here.
Okay, so Stanley, if we place MACC under Parliament, would it then ensure that it's truly an independent institution?
Well, by placing the institution under Parliament, for one, it means that it no longer needs to only answer the Prime Minister alone, but it is answerable also to Parliament via a special parliamentary select committee. Now, this committee should be given the powers to question the MACC on their failures, to investigate any abuse of power. And they must also have the power to instruct the commission to carry out investigations and present the findings to them. And then on the other hand, the MACC must also, like, for example, provide their reports annually on their activities and update MPs, you know, on their failures and challenges, so that MPs will be able to tackle this at the policy and at the law level in holding each other accountable. But we must understand this, yeah? By placing the MACC under Parliament alone might not guarantee the effectiveness of the fight against corruption generally that we're talking about. Because there are other reforms that needs to be done in tandem to ensure that we can tackle this corruption pandemic that we are facing in a more holistic manner. So, for example, we need to talk about the separation of powers between the AG and the public prosecutor. So while the MACC might carry out an investigation and produce evidence, the decision to prosecute lies with the AG. That is the current context. So, and the, currently the AG is appointed by the PM. So this is another area that we need to reform, where the prosecution office becomes independent of executive control. Then we might see success in the prosecution of cases, especially when the cases involves people of political connections and so on. The AG and PP is one. Another area is, for example, also the whistleblower protection. As we know, the whistleblower law in these countries are very weak and it does not encourage people to actually come forward. So similarly, there are many other laws that we need to look at holistically to ensure that there is independence and the fight against corruption is a success.
Okay, so a comprehensive overview of legislation is required to really make this work. But let me just get back to you and get your thoughts on the current assessment of MACC's performance, right, since the new present government has been in place, the unity government. In your view, have they been acting without fear and favour?
Well, I think it's a great question, right? Why does it only take, you see, the trend, if you look at the trend, since when the first 2018 government came into power at that point of time, when Mahathir took the REM for second term, he went after, the MACC went after all those that were in UMNO, Najib, and Zahid, and all the other the people. And then at this point of time, when the government is back into PH time, now we have the MACC going after those in Bersatu and so on. So why does it take the fall of a government for the MACC to go after opposition members? So we see that there's no consistency, but there's no happenings when actually the MACC goes after a sitting member of government, you know, a minister who is currently in position, for example. This does not occur. You know, it takes for that particular government to fall only for MACC to start investigation. So there arises an issue of impartiality, and why does that need to happen in that sense, right? So I think Anwar, when he said in Parliament that the MACC is an independent body, I think the statement is very weak and truly cannot justify it, right? Now, we must remember, right, when this current government was the opposition just a few months ago, they were accusing the MACC of going after them to support the Muhyiddin government. You know, they were crying political persecution. And today Anwar is saying that the government is actually, this particular MACC is actually free of any political interference. So how can we actually buy that, right? It doesn't make sense.
Okay, so a lot of loopholes, a lot of gaps in the current way that the system runs. I'm wondering, when it comes to appointing the next MACC chief, which we're expecting sometime this year, would it be an easy process to have Parliament, I suppose, decide on that appointment? Does this require a lot of legislative changes? Is it a complicated process, do you think? Or is this something the government can do quite easily?
Conducting the appointment process via Parliament, in my view, is the most simplest step. I think it is the most basic thing that we're talking here. Right? It does not require amendments to the federal constitution or to any laws. It is very easy to conduct this. You know, it is just one of the special select committees, probably the one on the one recently just created on institutional reforms. They could conduct the entire process of vetting the candidates, right? Of course, we need to work out the mechanisms, such as the voting powers, or how much of a vote is needed. Do we need all MPs to vote at this point of time? Or maybe only the select committee decides after interviewing all possible candidates with given set criteria, and then they choose the best person and they pass on the name to the Prime Minister, and then the Prime Minister passes on the name to Yang Dipertuan Agong for appointment. Now, all of this can be done immediately after working on the details in a couple of weeks, you know. And then we can work on the larger issues of constitutionalizing the process formally by making it into law, which is a more longer-term action. But we need to look into first this simpler step, which is to use the parliamentary select committees to run this entire process first.
Okay, Stanley, aside from the MACC, what other agencies do you think are due for an overhaul, and should be placed under Parliament instead?
Well, in the past, we have called for a number of key and sensitive government positions to be appointed via a parliamentary process. For example, the election commissioner, the Inspector General of Police, the IGP, and probably even the Chief Public Prosecutor when we finally separate the office of the AG and PP, and other key important sensitive agencies. Now, all of this is to ensure that there is a proper check and balance, and only the most qualified is tasked to head these key institutions. And by doing that, we can also address the issue of biasness and selective prosecution or persecution per se. Now, we just simply want the best. And if I remember clearly, I think this was also part of Pakatan Harapan's manifesto. So there's no reason for us not to do this. We can do it now. If we want to ensure the fight against corruption is a success, and if we want to start practicing higher standard of governance in this country, which I believe our Prime Minister will, and he has two great ministers currently leading the Institutional Reforms Ministry, Azalina and Ram Karpal, both of them are doing fantastic work. They just got two bills passed this week. Congrats to them. We've got to start the process now, right? And help push forward these important key reforms in our country.
Stanley, thanks very much for speaking to us. That was Sudhakaran Stanley, Deputy CEO at the Centre to Combat Corruption and Cronyism, talking to us about why it's important for the appointment of the MACC chief to be seen as independent, giving some pretty valid arguments in my view. And it brings me to mind how, for example, the US government appoints their top public officials. There is a testimony given in front of Congress, you know, so, and there's a vote by the specific committee.
And the scrutiny paid to their background is amazing. The level of detail, right? It's a very onerous process.
And all of that helps to build confidence in the system, confidence in that person who's appointed. So I fully support any proposal that would lead towards more transparency in the appointment process.
I think it's very interesting that, as you said, right, when Merrick Garland was appointed as Attorney General, he actually also did investigations on President Biden. The president nominated him. So how do you, you know, do it without fear or favour? And that's the issue that Sally was talking about just now, that, you know, why is it that when a government falls, the prosecution only takes place then?
That's only when they decide to take action.
The other thing is that these people that you appoint, you want them to be there for a certain amount of time. They shouldn't be replaced as and when governments come and go, right? They need to be seen independent from the government of the day, working for the good of the public, right? And it's public interest that counts.
All right, 8:48 in the morning. We're heading into some messages, but after that, we'll find out how local businesses have been coping since Malaysia reopened its international borders a year ago. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the Business Station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.